We grow when we give.
We grow when we give.
We grow when we give.
Nosotros crecemos cuando damos.
We grow when we give.
Давайте и дастся вам.
与える時成長する.
We grow when we give.
Welcome to ROG, Return on Generosity. I'm your host, Shannon Cassidy. This podcast celebrates generosity at work, not financial giving. Giving valuable time, mutual respect, alternative perspectives, and genuine collaboration.
Our special guest today is Patricia Macasaria, a civic volunteer and philanthropist who has dedicated herself to her community, promoting kindness and inclusion, and striving to empower young leaders. Patricia's career and life journey have been an untraditional one due to one constant change in her life. Change. In her early years, she worked in healthcare and then owned a distribution business. Desiring more time for managing her expanding family and her international moves, Patricia moved to a career that gave her more flexibility, volunteering and philanthropy. In her family's most recent move, Patricia landed back in the United States. Challenged with the opportunity to reinvent herself, she decided to systematically build a new life around a value that had served her well throughout her career and life, kindness. What I appreciate most about you, Patricia, is kindness. Welcome to ROG.
Thank you so much. It's really great to be here.
Oh, thanks. It's so great to have you here. And I appreciate Tara Collingwood for introducing us. Would love to hear a little bit of your background.
Sure. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. I am the oldest girl of seven kids. And my parents were always heavily involved in community and church and school. And my father was a hospital administrator. So I have a lot of fond memories about going to the hospital to visit my dad or when my mom was having a baby. And so a lot of really fond memories around healthcare, doctors. And so that's why I think I probably got interested in healthcare as a career in the first place. So with that, I moved along and did my graduate degree at University of Minnesota. Got a master's in healthcare administration and an MBA. And also very importantly, I met my husband there. He was in the same program. And after we graduated, we decided, hey, he's from Moscow, Russia. If we're going to spend the rest of our lives together, I really felt it was important. We need to understand each other, our languages, his culture, everything. So we picked up and we moved to Russia in 1996.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was supposed to be a 5-year, we'll just pop over for 5 years and learn the language. But it ended up being 13 years in Russia. Really became home. I actually lived there. I lived in Moscow longer than anywhere else I've ever lived. So it really was home for me. Had a lot of wonderful things happen there. 3 gorgeous kids. And also different careers. You know, when I moved over there, I didn't speak Russian, so I taught English and then, you know, ended up managing a dental clinic, ran a co-owner of a skincare distribution company, different things. So then life, again, did another pivot and we had the opportunity to do some more international moves. So that took us to London for a few years and also to Singapore for about 6 years. And that's really when my career had to make a change for me. That's when I got into more philanthropy and volunteering and that sort of thing. Yeah, just to give me more flexibility to prioritize the family. The last big move was 2019 back to the U.S. and a new chapter to say the least. And then, as you recall, that's when COVID hit. So I was able to indulge in what I call my year of discovery. And so in that downtime, I just read everything I could get my hands on and listened to podcasts and went to virtual seminars to try to figure out, hey, what's next? And I constantly found myself being drawn to health and well-being and emotional and physical wellness. And as I also discovered positive psychology while I was doing that research. And I'll never forget, it was like a lightning bolt moment for me. I was reading through kindness.org. They have a website. It's a great organization. And they had a quote that was, "Kindness transcends difference. Everyone has the capacity for kindness." And it was a lightning bolt because I was thinking about all the research I had read about how acts of kindness are so good for us, for our health and well-being, emotional and physical. And then I was thinking about kindness transcends difference. That is so true. And I knew that to my deep core because I had lived all over the world. I had met tons of people. I had worked in philanthropy with people of different religions and languages and cultures. And it just made me realize, I was like, okay, this is it. Yeah, this is it, right? And you know, you generosity, right? It gives back. It's the key. So I decided, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build my life, my new life around this. And in the process of doing that, I was like, well, I'll document it with a website and a blog. And in order to, yes, help me remember, you know, everything I come across and research, but also to share it, because I think that that it's so important to practice kindness and to think about it and read about it and to create a habit of kindness in your life.
Absolutely. And you call it kindness habit. And what you're saying Yes. is we have to build a habit around this so that it's not like an afterthought. Tell me more about why habit.
So, you know, it's interesting because I hear some pushback from people, like they think that, oh, kindness should, it should come from the family. Or, you know, it's silly when people do advertisements to be kind, or when governments try to do like different posters and commercials to get people to be kind to each other. But I disagree, because I think the more you can hear about something, the more it's going to be on top of your mind, right? And you're mm-hmm. if it's drilled mm-hmm. into your head and you surround yourself with these thoughts, then it's going to be an automatic reaction. I think first it starts as, oh, maybe you don't react in a certain way with kindness, but then you think about, oh, I could have done this. But then it's like, then you have an option mm-hmm. to do it. And then it becomes automatic. So I think just like your 5 degrees, right? Small incremental changes can make lifelong impact.
Absolutely. And something that you and I have in common is the Human Performance Institute and the Corporate Athlete Program. And I remember there was a quote in the curriculum. It was from Samuel Johnson, and it said, "The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they're too strong to be broken." And that's what I'm hearing you say, is that it's like sometimes when it's going, oh, you know, I should have opened the door for that person, or I should have offered to drive them somewhere or whatever. And then it gets to a point where it's just like, you can't not do it because it's just that chain of habit is so strong. Is that what you're meaning?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I mean. And the other, you know, another thing I ran across was George Saunders. He said, "What I regret most in my life are failures of kindness." It was in a really famous graduation speech he did. And it's so true. Like when I think about all the regrets in my life, it really is only when I have failed to be kind or failed someone in my life. And I think that, so any chance you can get to make sure that you're acting kindly on a more frequent basis and creating that as an automatic response, it's just going to serve you well your whole life. Mm,
totally agree. So just so we're on the same page, technically, how do you define kindness? Because I think it's a word that we all think that we understand. I'm just curious to hear your definition or your understanding of what kindness is.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it's funny if you look in, you know, like ask children, what is kindness? Ask people, what is kindness? You know, people will name acts, or the, you know, it can be like the whole range. It can be like being nice to my dog, picking up trash on the street, anything like that. So because that's the special thing about kindness, it is so many different things. It can be generosity. It can be forgiveness. It can be trust, compassion. It's all these things. But for me, I think that kindness is about connection, and it's about awareness. So it's being aware, being open to seeing need, and then whatever need that is, whether it's someone needs to be forgiven or someone needs, you know, some love, but then making that connection and making that act of kindness through the awareness and connection.
Mm. Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much. And you already shared a couple of examples of what you mean, and you've written about many of these things. What would be some great examples or even common ways in which you have seen people demonstrating kindness?
So I'm lucky because I've built my life and what I'm doing right now basically around kindness. So looked for organizations that I could be involved in where people are in service to others. So I mean, it's all the time. It's almost dilutes it, right? Because I'm like, isn't this happening everywhere all the time? So that's why it's really like your podcast and your whole idea about bringing generosity, especially to the workforce, is really appealing to me. And I would say in kindness as well, when I hear stories about things that happened at work, I'm particularly interested because mm-hmm. I don't think it's always such a kind atmosphere. And I remember one story, one that made me the happiest is one of my readers, she's an auditor, and she contacted me to tell me, she said she had a client meeting. She could tell it was for a potential new client. And she could tell within the first 3 minutes of the call that this was a no-go. This wasn't going to happen. And so she, of course, had a full docket of things to do. And she's like, I got to get off the phone. But then she said, and I thought this was hilarious, Patricia popped up in my mind, like talking about, oh, what can we do for kindness? You know, and this is that habit thing. And she thought, okay, what can I do? Can I spend this time with this person? So she went through and spent the entire 30 minutes that she had allocated with this potential client and talked her through like, okay, this is what you need to ask. This is the kind of auditor you need. This would be a better size for you, you know, and so on and so forth. And it was a huge win-win because the client was beside herself. She was so happy, so grateful. And then the reader, Mary, who told me about this, she came off the call totally energized,
yeah,
completely built up and feeling amazing about herself. So that's what I love. It's a win-win.
It totally is a win-win. And just while we're on that point of benefits or the return on generosity, like, and here you are, you know, congratulations on your certificate of applied positive psychology because you just completed that. That's wonderful. What are the benefits? What are the returns on generosity in your experience?
So it's interesting because it can be beneficial in so many different ways, depending on how you look at it, how you embrace it, how you attribute it, right? So, I mean, just the energy that you can feel from, right? Like feel from doing an act of kindness, that boost that you feel is obviously a physical, a physical benefit. I'm not going to pretend I'm a scientist, but there's loads of research and you can find it on my website in the resources of, you know, evidence-based research and science that's come out about the benefits it has for your heart, how it lowers your stress levels, how you sleep better when you do acts of kindness. But the other thing is that people perform better when they're doing acts of kindness and when they're receiving acts of kindness. When my work that I do, I work in a positive psychology program for medical trainees at Mount Sinai. And it's so interesting because when they feel those, you know, those positive acts of kindness and have those wonderful interactions with each other, it just gives them more space to be patient with patients, to have resilience to fight the burnout, and to just be able to be a better doctor. And that's across the board. It's whether you're an auditor or a doctor or a teacher. Yeah, it's just so many benefits.
So many benefits. And it's just really how we can stay healthier. We can have more energy, more creativity. I just love what you're saying. And that boost, like you just can't get that any other way. I mean, there's not enough caffeine in the world that can make us feel that energized, right? And I just love this quote you were saying before about the kindness transcends difference and how it's really just like You've traveled the world. You've lived it. Now, you haven't just visited these cultures. You've lived in them. And you're saying like, okay, there are a couple of common denominators. We very often focus on how we're different. I like how you're focusing on how we're similar. So I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, it didn't really strike me until I was back here in the States and really reflecting on my time. But I realized that I lived in vastly different environments. I was in Moscow in the 90s. I mean, it was, you know, Eastern Europe. I was in Southeast Asia. We went to China. We went to India. You know, we were really all over the world. You know, you hear all these different things about how we're different and maybe you can't connect. But I found that even if I didn't speak the same language, if you can demonstrate an openness and a willingness to learn about someone, or just I guess what I would say is appreciating them for who they are, then that openness, it creates connection. And people want to do good. People want to connect with you. I mean, I really can't even count on one hand the number of times that I had a problem somewhere. Because even if I came into an initial problem or roadblock, it's like, as soon as you relax, open up, try to see their point of view, you can connect.
Oh my gosh, it's so such a leveler.
Yeah.
And how everyone wants to be seen. Everyone wants respect and wants to be appreciated too. And you're saying like appreciating people for who they are is just so important. And I can't think of anyone who doesn't want that.
Right. And I think honestly, Shannon, I think that's extremely important to remember at work, because I think that people have a tendency to not give others the benefit of the doubt, right? I'd like to assume that everybody wants to do a good job. Everybody wants to work hard and be successful at work and do a good job. And so, especially in leadership, that is critical. Like, right? And just assume the best out of people and hope for the best. And then if there is a problem, go at it from, okay, you probably want to do this right, but let's see what's the hindrance. Where can we connect and meet to figure out what's not going right?
Absolutely. And I mean, the hundreds of leadership teams that I have worked with who have put assume positive intent on their list of team agreements, it's like all of them have that. I think you would have a really interesting perspective on that. How, when you even see those three words, because it's a heck of a lot easier to say those three words than to live them. Assume positive intent, or assume good intentions. Assume goodwill is another, one of our guests put it that way. I mean, how do you understand that or explain that?
Rush is a perfect example. People, before I knew the language, I would listen to my husband talking with his parents on the phone, and he would get off the phone. And I said, "What happened? Was that a fight?" And he said, no, we were just having a normal conversation. But it's because I didn't know the language and the mannerisms and everything else. And so it's like I was assuming that something was going wrong, but actually everything was totally fine. So I think just my experience of being able to live and learn that things aren't always as I imagine, because it's limited by my own knowledge and experience, that it can be a totally different situation. And so just trying to believe that everyone's doing good and or trying to be good, it's like assume that positive intent, because most of the time it is that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's always more to the story. So I love that you started with a question, because that's where we all should go when we're not sure, rather than making up the rest of the story. Like, clarify, be curious. I wonder what that was all about. You know, is there anything that I can do to be helpful? Because, and I also often hear about the fundamental attribution error, which is that when we do something well, we attribute it to our character. But when other people do something well, we attribute it to their circumstance.
Yes.
And vice versa. Like, if we behave in a way that's negative or unappealing, we attribute it to our circumstance.
Yes. <That's very laughs>
when other people behave badly, we attribute it to their character. So just, you know, that fundamental attribution error is significant in what you're talking about, because if we believe that people were acting out of their goodness, and even if they were behaving badly, we would assume that there might be something else going on. That would be a really generous perspective. Yeah.
Exactly. And I like what you say about, it's so true, like you attribute it to your own strengths, but, and that's a lot about, I think, generosity and leadership. What you're saying is like, build on people's strengths, right? Build those strengths, focus on that and maximize that. And it's going to have so many returns.
Absolutely. Because I think we're so obsessed with our weaknesses. We always want to focus on what we have to fix and improve and, you know, what's the delta, the thing that needs to change. And I think sometimes we do that to the detriment often of our strengths and our geniuses. So that's really great advice for us to learn from. So you do a lot of volunteer work and would love to hear you share a little bit more about Operation Smile.
Oh yeah. Operation Smile has been really a wonderful part of my life. So Operation Smile is an international charity or an organization that they provide cleft lip and palate surgeries and support throughout third world countries, but also in first world countries as well. They do some support and education and everything. Now, what's interesting, what I find empowering about this organization is for two reasons. Number one, they want everyone to be involved, no matter what you have to give. So even if you have no money, or even if you're a small child, that's fine. What you can do is help spread awareness or give a, start a school club, everything. Their mission is just, let's all work together to help fix this problem. And the other reason Operation Smile is so transformational, I think, is that it's not like they just go in and fix a child's cleft lip. When they go in, it's about fixing the child's cleft lip, but also helping the parents to understand how to care, teaching them how to brush their teeth better or how to feed better. And this is really important because the education and the support around all this, because a lot of times when this kind of problem happens in a third world country or in a village, they can feel like they're cursed, or that it's a tainted family and they can be shunned from the people that they're surrounded by. So it's what they're doing is transforming lives to the nth degree, not only just the child that they're doing the surgery on, but also the whole family and sometimes even village. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we'll put a link in the show notes so people can learn more about that. But I'm just hearing like a common denominator in the travels in your journey is smiling is a nonverbal way of being kind and making connections. So you don't have to know the language and you don't have to really do more than that. But right, that act of kindness could be smiling at someone. So Operation Smile, giving these individuals the opportunity to smile and to function more readily in their own lives is so significant.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's great. So you've been an avid reader. Mm-hmm. You said that's a habit you've been building over the past 2 years. You've read a lot and these books are on your website. So thank you for generously sharing these great tips. And then you're also, like we said, you have this certificate in applied positive psychology. What are some of the things you've learned? What are some nuggets of wisdom that you'd want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I was, I didn't even know what positive psychology was. And I just kind of stumbled upon it when, in my reading. And then I started to understand the importance and the applicability of the practical tools that they have. And so one thing I'll say about me is I've always been a really kind of optimistic person. And I have a positive outlook on life and I'll turn things around. I was born that way. A part of it was genetic. Part of it was how I was raised. And it's been very advantageous. It's very advantageous to be that way. But then there's other people that aren't like that. And to me, it was fascinating. It's like, okay, that's a difference that we have. Can that be changed? Should that be changed? Is that something that people can build if you want to change yourself, if you decide that is what you want? And it turns out that that's basically what positive psychology is all about. Traditional psychology, they say, is like, trying to fix or working towards fixing what's wrong. And positive psychology tries to build upon what's right. So, and through that building, like we were talking about before, building your strengths, focusing on habits that can improve your overall well-being, that puts you in a place later when things do get harder, that it gives you a greater amount of resilience and ability to handle challenges. There's lots of resources out there. I think the thing that, to me, a lot of people find it, like, they may say it's too soft. You know, we talk about the soft skills. And I'm sure, you know, you hear that. I've heard on your podcast as well, like people talking about that at work. People can shun that or not be interested. But what I like about positive psychology is it's all research-based. It's scientific studies. And so that gives it a little bit more, you know, more muscle to it. So more believable, you know, so you can convince people.
And, you know, you were referring to the workplace earlier. I mean, I'm just curious, like, how do you think you could enable or provoke, maybe encourage more kindness and positive psychology even in the workplace? Like, what would be some recommendations you have for our listeners for how could we create kinder cultures?
I think in a couple of ways. Number one, I think take the time to create a connection with people, like a real connection. And I think that there's so many opportunities, and not just your direct reports. I'm talking about everybody in the organization, because it takes everybody in the organization, you know, to make the whole machine work. And people are instrumental in their own way in so many different ways. So I think that's really, really important, is to take the time to make a connection with people. Because again, like you said, the return on that is when you do have a personal connection, that person is going to be more apt to want to do good by you, to do good for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So it's a win-win. And plus then your employees are happier. They want to be at work. They're healthier. It's just, it's a win-win. The other thing I think is really important is don't be afraid to lead with vulnerability. I think that's critical. So one of the things that I've been very cognizant about when writing my blog is, I don't want to come off like the perfect kindness person, the model of kindness, because my kids can tell you it is not always the way it is. But so I really try to share my own failures and to share when things are hard for me or when things don't go right. Because again, that just helps to create a connection with people. And I also feel that if you're feeling some way or feeling one way about something, somebody else for sure is as well. So I think that's an important part of it as well.
Yeah, me too. That leading with vulnerability, that we're all working this out together, you know. Yeah. And I love the Japanese philosophy called wabi-sabi, which is about embracing imperfection, right? Like, it's a part of life. It's part of beauty and it's inevitable. So like, oh my gosh, you've given us so many nuggets of wisdom and things for us to think about, ways to practice. So at the end of every episode, we try to recap some of the things that we heard so that our listeners can think about how they could apply that to their own work and lives. So here's a couple of things that I heard. I have it in bold in my notes here, which is kindness transcends difference. Kind of feel like if we don't get anything else, that's something we need to like get into our hearts and understand what that means. And then you talked about how kindness is connection. It's awareness. It's noticing opportunities. Like, what is the need? How can I help? What could I do? And then when you talked about the benefits of it, you said it really just depends. So it's a really personal thing. This is like, you know, we're all going to get our own rewards or reciprocity. And it's not that that's the intention, but the fact is that we're going to get that energy and that positivity. And then you talked about how we should have the willingness to learn about people. Like, how could we be curious about other people, appreciate them for who they are, recognize them, let them be seen? And then I think that one of the inspiring things that you said was that positive psychology is something that we can develop. We can build, you know, it's scientifically studied and there's methodologies and practices that we could apply to our own lives. And then the last two things you shared about taking time to connect with people, like really connect with them, and not just the direct reports or those that you would think of, well, of course you're connecting with them, but everyone, like make yourself available is what I'm hearing you say there. And then that leading with vulnerability, that willingness to be imperfect and to let people know how you're learning from your own mistakes so that they could A, benefit from them, but B, have the openness to share their own with you. Those are so many benefits that I heard from what we talked about here today, Patricia. Is there anything else that you want to leave our listeners with?
That was a fantastic recap. It's very impressive. The only other thing I would say is practice. Just if you want to be a kinder person, if you want to create that connection, just start implementing small little changes in your life. Put a sticky note on your computer that says, be kind today, or a reminder in your phone to make a small difference. And those things will become a habit and you will find yourself feeling better and being a kinder person.
Oh, brilliant. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for making this time and investing in us. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank you for this platform. It's such a wonderful podcast.
Thanks for listening to ROG, Return on Generosity Podcast. Please help us grow by subscribing and reviewing us on your favorite podcast player. And for more information, visit bridgebetween.com. We grow when we give.
우리는 나누면서 성숙합니다.
We grow when we give.
On rayonne quand on donne.
We grow when we give.